We are so blessed to have great musicians. We are so blessed just to be here in this day. We serve an amazing God. I mean, we really do. We serve an amazing God. You know, a God who has created everything in this world for us to enjoy and be provided for. A God who never leaves us alone, who loves us no matter what, even when we're unlovely. Now, don't look at the person next to you who might be a little unlovely today. But we serve a God who loves us like that, who offers us grace when we need it most and when we have deserved it the least. A God who only wants what is best for us. We serve an amazing God. And what I am even amazed at, even more than even just that fact, because that I can kind of grasp, but when I turn and look at God's word is amazing as well. I mean, it just never fails to speak to us, right, what we need to hear. It never fails to give us wisdom when we need it most. It never fails to give us comfort when we need it. It never fails to encourage us and correct us and remind us who we are. It is an amazing word that we hear. And today's word, whether you've been struggling in your life right now, or whether you've been kind of wondering what your purpose is, or whether you just need to be reaffirmed that it's going to be okay, God's word speaks to us today. It's written for this moment and this time. And when we realize that, something amazing happens inside us when we hear it. Because it's a living word. And it teaches us and leads us to respond. It transforms us and shapes us in our very being. That's today's word. And it comes from the book of Genesis. Now that's like an old book, right? It's in the Old Testament. And it's even in the first chapter of Genesis that it comes to us. And some of you are going, oh yeah, that's the creation story stuff. And, you know, here's the thing I want you to hear today, though, is that when we read the creation story, it's not a scientific kind of book for us. It's not the way that we need to explain how and everything happened. I mean, why it was written down was so that we would know who God is. We would know who we are. And we would know what we were supposed to do. That's why they wrote it down. It was obvious to them that God created the heavens and the earth. It was obvious to them that God was over all those things. They didn't need to argue creationism or Darwinism. They didn't. That was not important. What was important to them as they wrote it down, what was important to them and to God is, that we would know is that God created. That God was in charge from the very beginning. And how we were to be in relationship with God. And how we were to be in relationship with each other. And how we were to live our lives. That was what mattered. That was what was really important. And so as you read that first chapter of the book of Genesis, it really kind of starts out with words like, and God said, and boom. It was there. Now, I got no problem with that. How about you? It might have been the Big Bang Theory. It might have been creationism. All I need to know is God set it in motion and it came into being. That's good enough for me. How about you? God said it and it happened. Over and over, day and night. It happened. Water and earth, it happened. Every living thing on earth, it happened. Here's how it's recorded. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And then God said, let the earth, do you hear that? God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that's what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, and each able to produce offspring of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. Now hear this change. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own, what's the word? Image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Did you hear the change that happened? It was talking and God said, and this came into being, and God said, and it came, and then God said, let us. Let us. Now, who's there with God at this moment? Who's us in this moment? Is he talking to the animals? No. Who is us in that moment? God is telling us something important here. He's telling us that God the Creator is there at the very beginning. He's telling us that God the Spirit is there at the very beginning. In the wind, the breath that moves over the face of the earth, that breathed into every living being the breath of life. He's telling us the Spirit is there in the beginning. But who else is there in the very beginning? Jesus, God the Son, the light of the world, was there in the very beginning. God is telling us that he doesn't exist alone. He exists three in one, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, creating and filling all of us with life. This is wow, is it not? But here's what's even more wow, and what's really, really, really key for us to hear in this day, to grasp it completely is almost overwhelming, but to know it and to grasp it, that it shapes how we relate to each other and it shapes who we are in the world. But it's in that phrase, God decided to make human beings in whose image? God's own image. God created us to be like God, to be a reflection of God's image. God didn't create us to be gods. Ooh. But he created us to be a reflection of his image. The unique reflection of who God is. And we call that a fancy theological kind of term, Imago Dei. Image of God. That's who we are. Imago Dei. We are images of God. The unique reflection of God that doesn't make us God, but makes us dependent upon God. I mean, in order to reflect something, you're dependent upon that which you're reflecting. Amen? I mean, so if we're going to reflect God, that makes us dependent upon God. Without God, no reflection. It makes us dependent on God for power and for truth. It makes us responsible to God. Oh, I know that kind of rankles us as you know, Americans to have to be responsible and accountable to somebody. But we are responsible to God. And because we're a reflection of God, that means that our purpose is found in who? In God. And our purpose, I mean, what did the writers of Genesis say? Our purpose was to care for all of God's creation. Our purpose was to reflect God's image and God's glory. Our purpose was to be in relationship with God and other people. You know, we see that kind of image represented in this kind of famous painting, that shows God's finger reaching out to our finger. Because we are a unique creation of God like that, we are different than other things that God created, living and non-living. We are the only ones who have the ability to be in a relationship with God. Our souls seek a relationship with God. Amen? And God seeks a relationship with us. Now, as much as you may love your dogs and cats, God does not seek a relationship with them. Even though dog spelled backwards is God, it's a little g, not a big one, right? God does not seek a relationship with squirrels. If he did, he'd go to Arnold and I's house and he'd take them all, right? No, God seeks a relationship with the ones who are made in his image. God seeks a relationship with those that he has created in that image. And he seeks it and goes after even those who are lost, who are made in his image. This passage also reminds us that we're not only called to have a relationship with God, but we're called to have that relationship with creation. This falls alone on us. No other living thing on earth is called to care for all of creation. Amen? I mean, a lion hunting in Africa does not think, you know, if I kill too many, there won't be any here to eat next time. It does not think like that. Amen? It just thinks, I'm hungry. I'm doing this. But we think about, how do we care? How do we care for creation? We are the ones responsible for not just devouring everything in our midst that's within our reach. Now, the implications for that get me on to another sermon that you really didn't want to hear today, so I'm going to put that aside. And I want to focus on this one, which is really the most important. If we are really imago Dei, if we are really made in God's image, then we are called to be in relationship with one another. You and I, are held to a high standard of care for one another. If you and I, indeed if every human being is made in the image of God, then that means that you and I are the plan, we are the way in which God is going to fulfill his purpose here on earth. Amen? Every human being is a part of that plan. If we are really to love God, then we have to love one another because they're an image bearer of God as well. Ooh, just look at that. I mean, just turn to the person right or left to you, turn to somebody as you're watching, and just say to them, God will love you. All right, now add this, God will love you, God says. Yeah. I mean, if you're really going to love God, then you have to love those who bear his image. It's that simple. It's that simple. You know, and because they're all made with the divine nature of God. And if we're all made for the divine nature of God, that means that we were created to love like that. We were created for good. Now, sometimes that good gets lost. Amen? Sometimes we forget who we are reflecting. Sometimes we forget who it was that really made us. Sometimes we forget the others were made with that image because they don't look so good either. Right? But we were made for good. We were created in that image of God. Sin has entered the world and distorts the image of God. And Wesley describes it this way. He says, the instrument being now quite untuned when sin comes in. I like that phrase, isn't it? When sin comes into your life, you're a little untuned. That's a nice way of saying to someone they're nuts. You're just untuned today. Use that at Thanksgiving table. But God's image is still stamped upon us. Amen? It is still there. We're just not in tune with it. We're just not in touch with it. It's just become distorted. And only God can restore that image. Only God can tune our lives again. And he does that by sanctifying grace. The perfect image of God is shattered by sin, but the perfection of Christ comes and restores it once more. Now, why is that really important for us to remember? Why does this really matter? Because it helps us to know that relationship with God is worth seeking. And it helps us to know who we are and whose we are. And it reminds us that while we were made in God's image, we aren't to be God, but we are to be free to obey God. And it reminds us of this fundamental truth, which is a huge one for our world today, and that is every human being has value and dignity. Now, we know that in our hearts. We know that as a way of being because we have passed laws to not hurt each other and not kill each other and to kind of protect each other's properties. We know this, but when we really know that all people are created in the image of God, that means that the true dignity of every human being, every man, woman, and child on this earth is rooted in God. Now just hold on to that. Everyone's dignity, everyone's value, everyone's worth is rooted in who? God. Not anything else the world says, but in God alone. And we are able to live in the kingdom of God only because there is a king, Jesus, to reign over us, who ushers in that kingdom. So our value is not determined by what we do or don't do, or the color of our skin, or the place where we live, or the every education that we have, or who we know, or what we have done. Our value is rooted in God. Your worth, your value is infinite because it comes from an infinite God. Nothing can take it away. Because nothing can take God away. We have value because of God who has made us. We are called to live out our imago Dei in the world, not the world's day. The world's day says I'm valuable because of what I do. Because of where I live, because of what I've accomplished, because of my skin color, because of my race, because of where I live, because of male or female. The world tells us all these things of why I'm valuable, whether I believe the right political things or not, whether I vote the right kind of way. That's how we tell whether someone's valuable to us or important to us. But God says, no, 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 no. They're valuable because I said so. They're valuable because I made them. Hear what God's word says about that. Here's how it says what we are to do in the world. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Now it's, hear that. Take no part in the world's day of darkness, of evil. Instead, expose them. That means we stand against that which takes away value, that claims to have the other or even ourselves having no worth. Now think about it for a minute. 1800s, there was this thing called slavery. Everybody remember history? And in slavery, slaves had no value or worth. So do you know what the abolitionists used as part of their rally cry, as part of the way to repeal slavery in England? What was that? They began to declare that every human being was made in God's image. That meant those slaves had value because God said so. Civil rights. You know, part of the civil rights movement was based upon the fact that some people were more valuable than others. Amen? Some people were entitled to more than others. What was key to civil rights movement? Every person was made in the image of God and was of equal value. Think about it in terms of sex trafficking. Sex trafficking says that these people are just objects to be used and abused and thrown away, and that they have no value. While we as Christians are opposed to that, why we as Christians stand up and push back the darkness in that is because we know that every person is made in the image of God. They are not objects. They are not to be exploited and thrown away. They're valuable. It matters. The same thing is true of pornography, even, where people are used as objects for someone else's pleasure. And if you think this doesn't really matter, 50% of the U.S. population struggles with pornography. That means 50% of the U.S. population struggles with how do we deal with the image of God. Do you hear me? It's real. It's real. And yet Christ proves our worth when he said, "You're worthy of my dying on the cross for every human being." Amen? Our worth is rooted and paid for by God. Jesus turns our broken relationship with God right side up through his death and resurrection. No human being should be used or abused. Matt Chandler reminds us that we're to take no part in these things that take away from that dignity, take away from that worth, that we are to stand against the darkness. And that we have the opportunity to affirm the kingdom of God right here and right now. Now, let me just keep pushing a little bit more. And don't send me emails or letters on this. I get it that somebody's going to be upset by what I'm about to say. Okay? Okay? Just naming it out there. All right? And instead, what I want you to do is I want you to think, what does Scripture really tell you? All right? And you reflect on what Scripture really tells you and really speaks to you, and then you decide who you're going to send a letter to. All right? But here it is. We don't have to participate in conversations that are political. We do not have to make everything a partisan issue. Do you hear me? For instance, borders are important. They matter, okay? But guess what? Whether you call them detention centers or whether you call them deportation centers, those people that are there are still made in the image of? Mm-mm-mm. And you know, when we talk about immigrants, there are some immigrants that are here legally and some that are here not. But they are both made in the image of God. So when you start spouting all those political kind of things about those immigrants, think about who you're talking about. Think about how you're talking about them. When you're starting to go down through those partisan kind of diatribes at your Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, and by the way, here's a word of advice I got. Came to me this morning. I thought it was good. Be sure to bring up politics at Thanksgiving dinner. It's going to save you money at Christmas. Just saying. So when you're spouting off all those political kinds of things, when you are answering all the world with all the world's kind of views, remember what God's word says. Every person is of worth. Even those that we might be at war with. Man, isn't that a hard one? Even those that we might be in disagreement with. Even those we don't like. And there are some that I don't. How about you? I gotta love them because God said, but I don't like them. Right? But I have to speak of them like I want them to speak of me. I have to treat them the way that Jesus would have treated them. I need to eat with them at table. I need to care for their needs. I need to pray for them. This is not an easy thing, is it? To look at the world the way that God looks at the world, with the eyes of God, to say this is a person made in God's image. This is a person that is intended to be a part of God's plan. This is a person that God wants for me to rejoice with at the end of times in heaven for all time. This is a person that I'm to be light to because I'm reflecting God's image of light. Amen? This is a person that I'm to bring truth to in a loving way because I'm reflecting God's image in this time. Because we remember that we were called to follow Jesus. And when Jesus was working and Jesus was walking this earth, he ate with people who were not wanted. He ate with people that were in high society. He welcomed tax collectors. He welcomed sinners. He welcomed the outcasts. He welcomed those who were cut off. He welcomed people that were in the know and people that were not in the know. He included the least and the greatest in all society because they were all created and made in the image of God. And we are to be image of God bearers to the ends of the earth, bearers of light. So rather than repeating the world's views and the world's way of talking about politics and the world's way of talking about worth and value, what about when you tuck your kids or your grandkids in at night? What about if you remind them you are fearfully and wonderfully made? You are beloved by God. What about when you get up in the morning and you're looking in the mirror and you don't look so good? You've got a sign on your mirror that reminds you, I am made in the image of God. I am to be a bearer of light today. God is with me and within me today. Man, wouldn't that be a good thing to pick you up? When you're wondering what your purpose is, when you're wondering what it is that you're to do and how you're to do it, just remember, I'm going to be light to someone today. I'm going to be hope to someone today. Because we are made in the image of God. And our salvation, which began in Jesus Christ, is rooted in this. John Wesley said, salvation is the renewal of our souls in the image of God. What sin took away, grace restores. The broken image of God is being restored within you. And that is true not only for you, but even those not like you. Even those that you may not respect today, even those whom you may actually fear today, we and they still bear the mark of the Creator. And the Imago Dei is rooted in why we value each other. If we fall into valuing others by what they represent and identify themselves, then division is inevitable. We're called to be more than that. Amen? We are called to be light. We are called to be that which we were created in. Imago Dei. The image of God. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you that you have created us to love you and to love one another, that you have created us in your image. That means you have given us everything that we need to live in this world as bearers of light. You have given us everything that we need to live as you call us to live. You have given us everything we need to follow your Son and to offer grace and hope to others. So God, today, when all the world tries to drag us down, your love lifts us up. Your Son propels us and your Spirit leads us. May we follow that as reflectors of your grace, of your love, and your hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.